morning, everyone. I want to share a couple stories with you of my own life. Being transparent here, you can pray for me. Two times in my life that I can recollect, I'm sure my wife would remember others, but two times in my life I've ran out of gas. Both of those times that I remember, my wife was in the car. Husbands, I knew you'd understand that. One time was in South Florida. We were attending the church there probably a year or so, and we were heading our way down to Wednesday night service, and we get in my truck, we start driving, and luckily, as I just came up the overpass, the truck kind of jerked. You know how it is when you run out of gas. And of course, the truck jerked, and my heart sank, because I'm like, that's not good. Luckily, I was up over the overpass, so I was able to drift down the overpass and actually get off the exit, make my way around a corner, and actually get into a parking lot. I felt pretty lucky. I felt pretty blessed by it, until my wife started reminding me how dumb I was for not putting gas in the car when we needed to go to church. It's like, yeah. It's like, ugh. So that was the first time. The second time just happened probably a couple years ago. My wife and I, when we had dogs, we used to take our dogs to Starbucks. Not that the dogs drank Starbucks, but my wife and I liked Starbucks. So we would go to Starbucks. It was after church on one Sunday. So we were on our way back from Starbucks, coming down Concord Road, and sure enough, the truck lurched again. And I was like, oh no, of all times, I'm going to run out of gas with my wife, with two of our dogs in the car. This is not going to be good. So I pull off the side of the road, and of course, my wife goes, how long have you known you needed gas? I'm like, it said 50 miles like an hour ago. I don't know what happened. Or maybe it was the day before. I couldn't really remember, but obviously I ran out of gas. So I'm like, oh, man. So I call Pastor RJ. I said, Pastor RJ, I've just run out of gas. Could you bring me some gas? He goes, where are you? I said, I'm on Concord Road, and my wife is in the car. He's like, I will be there as quickly as I can. So two times I've run out of gas, and if you've ever run out of gas, you know that feeling. You know that, oh, now how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to go through this? Difficult situations. See, the thing about that I learned, that we learn when we run out of gas, is that a car will run perfectly as long as you put gas in the tank, right? In the same way, a Christian will grow as long as you put the Word of God into the tank of your heart. And that's what I want to talk about. Never stop growing in God. Never stop growing in the understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God. The cool thing about running out of gas, if you put more gas in the car, it'll start. It's the same thing in our lives. When we begin to feel like we're depleted, when we begin to feel like we're a distance from God, when we begin to have those doubts, and those sinful nature, that fleshly nature comes back, what do? We simply add the Word of God into our hearts. We spend time with the Lord in prayer and in reading the Word. And in that moment, God's presence comes, and that distance is no longer there. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you standing by watching your life go by? I don't know, there's a word that's for that. Are you just standing watching life, waiting for it to happen? Or are you taking life by the reins and saying, no, Lord, I want to be involved in my life. I want to be active in my life. And are you growing in the Lord? See, if you stay the way you are today, you will never achieve God's best for you. Think about that. If you stay the way you are today, you will never achieve God's best for you. I found this quote, and I wanted to read it to you. It says, if we don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we aren't really living. I thought that was important for us to remember that we have got to be, sometimes change is hard, right? Sometimes it's difficult to adjust the way we think, to adjust the way our actions are, but God, in his infinite wisdom, convicts us by the Holy Spirit and says, this is the way I want you to live. And if we change our behavior, if we change our actions, guess what? We're going to grow in the Lord and we're going to become stronger. If you think back on your life, those times that God revealed himself to you in a strong and powerful way, he taught you something in that instance. He taught you something in that situation, and you probably remember it to this day. We probably all have those memories of how God revealed himself in a greater and deeper way. Listen, guys, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, God's word into your heart. And that is why it's so important that we are constantly seeking to grow in God, Certainly coming here to church on Sunday mornings, being in fellowship, being in God's house, hearing the word of God, worshiping, singing the songs, but more than just singing them, do you mean them in your heart? Do you really sing those, God, that's what I want for my life? That is growing in the Lord. And so that's what I want to talk about. See, this chapter has been all about the word of God. Jesus has been telling parables, and he's revealing the truth about his word, and today we're going to see what his kingdom is. And through that, we're going to see God's desire for us, each and every one of us, to grow in him. So go look with me, Mark chapter 4, picking up in verse 26. It says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Verse 30, "Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." So two little parables Mark gives us. And we need to be thankful for these parables in the Gospel of Mark, because it's the only place we find them. This first one, in fact, was first time it's the only place we see it, and Mark shows it to us and reveals the truth of the power of God's work. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And it's interesting to me that he likens the kingdom of God to a man who scatters seed and the size of a mustard seed. Of all the things Jesus could use to illustrate the power of the kingdom of God, he uses very simple pictures, simple stories. And it says because he wants us to understand exactly what it is he's saying. He wants you to understand the simplicity and the power of the word of God. See, we learned from the beginning of this chapter that the seed is what? Do we remember from the other parables? The seed is the word of God. And in this particular parable, it's a man who is scattering seed in his farm. It's a farmer, if you will. Notice what Jesus tells us. He scatters the seed, and then he sleeps by day, or sleeps at night and by day. Once he scatters the seed, there's nothing more the farmer has to do. And it shows us there's a part that we must do, but then there's a part that we must let God do in our lives. The seed, the man who's sowing, many people believe that that is Jesus himself sowing the word of God. In those days, he was sharing the word with his disciples. We'll see that later in this chapter. It's important to know that he is spreading his word into our hearts. So in the same way, we receive the word of God into our lives, and we just let the word do its work. Do you understand? Let the word of God get into your life, get into your head, and then just let that word do the work do the work that only it can do. I find that very liberating. I find it very wonderfully that I can read the scriptures, and then I don't have to manufacture any more effort. I don't have to manufacture anything else but just faith that the word of God is going to do the work that it's calling out to accomplish. In fact, Isaiah 55, verse 11 says this, should be overhead. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." What a wonderful promise this is. God says, my word I'm going to send out, and it will not return to me void until it's done the work that it's done. Is the word of God transforming your life? Are you growing in the understanding and in the knowledge of the word? Now, I understand what some of you might be thinking. Pastor Rob, I've been a Christian for several years. I've been reading the Bible faithfully, consistently. Many times I don't understand what it says. Many times I just don't get anything out of it. I want to remind you that when you read the word of God, it becomes a part of you. If you truly embrace that truth as you're systematically reading the word of God, it gets into your heart, it will come out of your life. Let God do the work that he wants to do in your life. Again, that verse says, it shall prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. God's going to use it when he needs it. See, Pastor RJ and I, we were talking this week, and we have the wonderful privilege of ministering to different people in the church that need help. And the beautiful thing about ministering the Word of God is because it's always the same. The Word of God doesn't change. And so he and I got to minister to someone this week, and I'll tell you what, as Pastor RJ and I were talking, we realized that we were saying the exact same things to the same person. That's not because Pastor RJ and I are robots, that we just say the same things. It's systematic. No, it's because it's the Word of God. I'm telling you, when trials come in your life, when difficulties come, you got to rely upon the Word of God that's been hidden in your heart already. That's where your strength will come, growing in God, growing in His Word. And this is Jesus' desire for every single one of us, that we would grow in Him. See, it is our responsibility as Christians to read the Word, to receive the Word, and then be ready to share the Word. Must be ready to share it. And I know for some of you go, that's very scary. What if I say something wrong? Listen, one of the most powerful things you can say to someone that you're ministering to is, I don't know. We don't know everything, but we know the one who does know everything. And the key to ministering to someone the truth about God's Word is just to lead them to it, to take them to the, what does the Word of God say? We might think something, we might even feel something, but what do we know the Word of God says? You've probably heard me say this many times. Don't live your life based on how you feel. Right? Can you imagine living your life by the way you felt? Every morning you'd be like, I don't feel like going to work. Right? I don't feel like coming to church. That happened to me this morning. I set my alarm. I said, oh, I'm going to get a good 8 hours. I'm going to be ready and jump up out of bed. I'm going to be excited. My alarm went off, and I'm like, already? I felt like I only slept like 3 hours. And I just laid there and like, Lord, and this is my prayer on Sunday morning. Lord, get me out of bed. God, push me out of this bed. Because why is it in the morning the bed is the most comfortable? I just don't understand it. It's like, Lord, I've got something I need to do. I don't feel like it. I'd rather sleep right now, but I need to get up. Don't live your life based on how you feel, because many times, don't you feel like God doesn't love you or shouldn't love you? Don't you feel like God shouldn't forgive you because of the way you've lived your life, the choices that you've made, the decisions that you've done, the lifestyles, the choices? Gosh, if we lived in that feeling stage, we would never grow. We would never move forward, but we have to move from feeling to knowing. I have to remind myself, you have to remind yourself, God loves me unconditionally. There is nothing I can do to stop God from loving me. I'm so glad God did that. Otherwise, we'd be wondering all the time, does God love me? It is our responsibility to receive that truth, to be understand and know that truth, and then be ready to share that truth with someone else. I bet you there's a bunch of us in this room that could really use some encouragement from another believer in this room. That maybe someone or maybe a few people in here are just having a hard time right now. They're going through a very difficult situation, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, maybe it's even spiritual. And sometimes you just need a brother or sister to come alongside you and say, don't give up. God is never done. He sends His Word to do a work, and it won't go back to Him until it's accomplished that work in you. You keep on reading. Even if you don't understand it, you just keep on putting the Word of God in you, because I'm telling you, there'll be a time in your life where then all of a sudden you'll remember a verse you read and go, I needed that today. Or maybe you do a devotion and it's the same verse you read a year ago and you go, man, I remember that verse. It's getting it in you. That's the resources that you have to live your lives. It says in the book of Acts chapter 2, the church had just been birthed, the Holy Spirit was poured out. You don't have to turn there. It's Acts 2, verses 46 and 47 says this. The early church did this. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. Okay, they were reading the Word. They were receiving the Word daily in one accord. They were in agreement, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were going to be saved. The church stayed in fellowship, stayed under the biblical teaching of the Word, the teaching of the Old Testament. They were praying together. They were fellowshipping together. They had favor with one another. Anybody in here need favor with someone else in their life? The Word of God, studying it, praying, being in fellowship around other believers who maybe believe more than you. And then God adds to the church those that need to be saved. It is a blessed thing to know that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's also another thing to be able to share that with someone else who needs to hear that truth, who needs to have that encouragement. So many broken people in this world, broken families, broken relationships. When I see the choices that people make and I think of God as he looks down on his earth and says, this is not what I had for you. This is not what I had for you. I wanted you to live an abundant life. I wanted you to live a joyful life. But because of choices, the things that have happened in your life, you're living that life where you're just barely holding on. Don't let go of God. Don't let go of God. Grow in him. They had favor with all the people. Now, Jesus in this parable says, a man is sowing in the field. He sleeps by day and night. He wakes up. The farmer basically doesn't throw the seed down, wake up the next day and go, where's the harvest? We got to be patient, don't we? That's why sowing that seed in your life, getting the word of God in your life, you got to be patient. You got to let the process happen. The farmer one day wakes up and then sees a harvest. But the interesting thing about this, listen to this. Plant development is a complex and intricate process that we today still don't fully understand. 2,000 years after Jesus said this, think about it, would you? A small little seed. It doesn't have a heartbeat. It doesn't have blood flowing through it. But when you plant it in the ground, something happens that we don't understand completely. And it grows up to be a plant, and it grows to be a harvest. Guys, this is an amazing thing that we don't understand what it is. He himself doesn't know how it happens. It's the same thing with the Word of God. When we read it, we put it in us. We don't know when it's going to come out of us. We don't know when it's going to produce something. But if we systematically and consistently stay inside the Word of God and under the Word of God and that teaching, it'll produce something in our lives. It is just absolutely amazing how the Word of God works. The Word of God never stops growing inside of you. The Word of God never stops developing you. In fact, I have a picture here. Think about this as your life. From the moment you got saved, God entered into your life. And over the years, you've grown in God in some ways. I hope you've grown. You know, and it doesn't matter what's happened in life. You can have the ups and downs, but you're still growing in God. God is teaching you in the good times and in the bad times. I learn more about God when I go through a difficult situation than when I go through a good one. That's the flat-out reality. We have to go through trial. We have to go through temptation. We have to go through the fight and the battle of the flesh in order for God to really show us something. Don't you find yourself praying a lot harder when you're going through something difficult in your life? Boy, if we would only pray with such fervency when things are going well in our lives, that we would be consistent in that prayer, thanking God that nothing tragic is going on in our life. I don't want Christians, I don't think God wants Christians to be praying, God, things are so good, I'm so afraid something bad's going to happen. That shouldn't be our attitude. It should be say, thank you, God, for strengthening me right now. Equip me for whatever's in store for this week. Ask God to equip you for whatever's in store for this week so that you are ready for whatever happens. And then when something happens, you're going to go, I prayed for this. Pastor Rob told me to. No. God needs to equip you for those trials. Are you seeing growth in your life? See, I like to work out. Not everybody likes to work out. But I would be fooling myself if I went to the gym this afternoon and thought, man, after one workout, I'm going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, I'm going to, right? Or we're just kidding ourselves. It takes time, right? It takes time for these things to happen. It's the same thing with God's word. Be consistent at it. I worked out with a trainer in South Florida, and it was just the consistency of working out that was better than the intensity of the workout. It's the same thing with God. Just be consistent. If you just read the word for 5 minutes a day, every single day, it will change you. That's how powerful it is. It'll also grow in you a hunger to want to read more of it. And I encourage people, share what God is showing you every single day. Share it with someone else. That helps you engage with it. It helps you remember it. Too many of us do our devotions, set it aside, walk away and go, I have no idea what I just read. I forget what it was all about. I try to remind myself, pick one word, whether it's freedom, whether it's faith, whether it's trusting, whether it's hope, whatever it is. Lord, that's the word I'm going to try and use in someone else's life this week, and especially for myself. It helps us. It helps us. Are we growing? Are we getting stronger? That picture is a spiritual picture of our lives as we continue to grow in the Lord. The good thing is we have the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit is in your life to help you with the Word of God. So we're going to come back to the Mark's Gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you are here today and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he has given you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit knows the heart of God, knows the will of God, knows the ways of God. And because of that is in you, he will guide you and show you what God has for you. He will be the one to remind you of the verses that you've read, the things that are really dear in your hearts, the systematic reading that you've had over your life. It is absolutely true that we can ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, remind me of the Word of God when I need it today. And he will. The Spirit of God. Notice again, it says in verse 12, that we may know the things which have been freely given to us by God. The world out there wants to steal your hope, wants to steal your joy, wants to steal your peace. Do you know what you have in Jesus Christ? Do you know what you have in God? The blessings of having a relationship with the Creator. Do you know that? So much so that it won't shake you, that it won't rock you, no matter what happens in your life? Are you faithful only up to a point? And if it goes beyond that point, then just can't do it? Or are you faithful no matter what it is you may end up going through? Listen, we need to know. We need to know his word. Never stop growing in the Word of God. That's why I love Calvary Chapel so much, that we hold so dear to the Scriptures and we know that the Scriptures are so important. I am thankful to God that I know next week when I pick up wherever I stop, I'm going to continue to read through the Word of God. That I'm not coming to you every single week saying, this is what I think God has for us. No, this is what God has for us. God wants us to know that we cannot stop growing in his word. And Jesus is telling this very simple parable. Man sows, doesn't know how, it just happens, but then there's a harvest. Go back with me to Mark chapter 4. Look, it's not just hopeless, waiting for it to grow. It says in verse 28 and 29, it says, the earth yields crops by itself, but when the grain ripens, a harvest comes. This word by itself, if you want to circle it, the word is basically automate in the Greek. It's the word we get, they use to get the word automatic. It's automatic. When you read the word, when the word of God is getting you, when you're sitting under biblical teaching, hopefully more than just on Sunday mornings, the word of God is going to go into your heart, and then it's automatically going to produce something in your life. It's just amazing to me. The earth yields crops by itself. It's absolutely automatic. It's the same word in Acts chapter 12 where Peter's in prison. James has just been beheaded. He's next up on the chopping block. He's asleep in prison being chained. And the angel of the Lord comes and releases him from the jail. And it says as they walked to the outer gate, the gate opened of its own accord. Automate. Automatically, it opened. Guys, do you need doors opened in your life by God automatically? Is there something in your life that you feel hindered by and maybe God needs to open for you? This is the word. Things the word of God does of work in us, and it produces something automatically. We don't have to do anything to it. We just got to make sure the seed is getting in our hearts. We just got to make sure that the word is coming in and we're embracing it, we're accepting it for what it is. It's automatic. My front porch or my front walkway at my house has plants that are called, what are the ones that come over back every year? Perennials. Should be annuals, because to me that's every year. But anyway, perennials grow up every year all by themselves. And when the spring comes and I pull in my driveway and I see the sprouts come up, I'm like, I didn't have to do a thing. I didn't do anything. It was automatic and it looks beautiful. And then the weeds come. And it's like, those come up automatically too. That you have to work on. But automatically, God is going to do something automatically. Aren't you thankful that God is stronger than any difficulty you ever going to come up against? What do we have to fear, my friends? What do you have to, I know, sickness comes, pain comes, finances are hard, the world we live in is difficult. But God is so much greater than those things. If we would really just scale these things down. I was talking to someone this morning who's really working hard at minimizing their expenses, reducing their costs, calling the cell phone company and saying, I'm going to cancel you unless you take $20 off my bill a month. They'll do that. And it's like it's that freedom that you have control over the finances and control over your life. That's what God wants to do in and through us. Believing that God will do that. I love it. Never stop growing. The word that's planted in your heart should produce something. The ultimate finish is the harvest, right? That's what Jesus says. Finally, the harvest comes. The farmer comes, takes a sickle to it and cuts the harvest. That's what we're shooting for. We want something to be produced in our lives. What is God producing in your life? What is God doing in and through you, my friends? When you want to learn something new, a new topic, a new subject, what do? Google it, right? That's what everybody's going to say, Google it. Hopefully we pick up a book and read about it. Study it. Talk to other people. Figure out other people's experiences. Just this week, I picked up a book that one of my heart doctors wanted me to read. It's called The Brain Maker. And it's really just talking about the foods that we put in helps sharpen our brain. And this book has just rocked me when it comes to the health and the condition of our physical bodies. It's been an amazing book to me. It's just opened my eyes to so many things. Still going to eat chocolate cake, sorry. But there's things we shouldn't be eating. And it's just been so good. It impacted me so much that I shared the book with two other people. Because I knew they were in the same kind of sense of wanting to have these types of things and these ideas for them. And then I sat back and I said, are we doing that with the Word of God? Is the Word of God so exciting to us that we read the Scriptures, we study it, and then we want to share it with someone else? Instead of waiting for those opportunities to come to us, are we reading the Word, being excited about it? Jesus wants to produce a harvest in your life, and now go out there and harvest it. Seize it. Be used by God. Just be that person that has a smile upon their face that brings joy to someone. When's the last time you asked your waitress or waiter at lunch or dinner how they're doing? And truly want to know, I try to always ask, what is your name? If they don't give it, what is your name? I try to remember it. And then I go, how are you doing? And you know me, if they say okay, that's not good for me. It's like, I need to know what's going on so I can pray for them. To really have that relationship, it's, again, I'm not saying go out and be an evangelist and stand on a box and proclaim, you know, if you don't give your life to Christ, you're going to hell, although that's true, right? But to share the love of Jesus Christ because it's impacted you with someone else. We study all these things because we want other people to be impacted. You don't stop at just acquiring the information. You don't just study a subject and say, oh good, now I'm smarter. No, you want to apply it to your life. You want to put it into your life. It should be the same thing with God's word. The harvest is so powerful. And here's the other thing. When I got saved in 1992, you've heard my story, Easter service, I had no idea that God was going to call me into full-time ministry as a pastor. In fact, I would have argued you to the death that he wouldn't. But I look back on my life, and that small little prayer that I prayed in 1992 at Easter began to set in motion my journey on reading the Word of God, my journey on letting the Word of God get into me, my journey on becoming faithful, my journey on wanting to live a godly life, to the point that I look back on my life and I see other lives that have been touched by my life. And that is so humbling. That is the byproduct of what God can do in the life of a heart that's willing to receive. Every single one of you here today can make a difference in someone else's life that may transform them for all eternity. Is that in the forefront of our minds? That God's word, I need it for myself, but I can't wait to share it with others to see what God will produce in and through me. That's the reality, my friends. That's the reality, that God will do that. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, right? In the time when Jesus was sharing the gospel, there was only, what, 12 guys, maybe a few other hundred, few disciples that were going out? The harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people that need to get saved. Laborers are few. What does he say? He says, pray for the laborers to come. See, we look over the landscape now and we see, oh, there's a lot of people that believe. The harvest is still plentiful. The harvest is still ripe. The harvest is still out there. The people need to hear the truth of God's word. And guys, it's our job to get it out there. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I will never sit next to your coworker. I will never meet the person that you were meeting in the aisles of the grocery store. That's your job. That's your place. That's where God has you. Blossom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Create a harvest in your life. Touch someone else's heart, and you'll be blessed by seeing God do it. As we study the word together, and you study the word privately, we're going to see God do stuff through us miraculously if we're really putting ourselves out there to be used by God. The last little parable, I want to share this with you because it's so amazing. As Jesus says in verse 30 again, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? And he even says, or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is such a small little seed. Tiny little seed. In fact, there should be a picture of it, Stephen. You people know this. It's so stinking tiny. Again, God says the kingdom of God, which I think of the kingdom of God as this powerful force. And Jesus says it's like a mustard seed, tiny. It's small. He picks the smallest thing. Jesus uses the smallest seed to describe the kingdom of God. Because in the beginning, it was small. Remember, the kingdom of God came with a babe in a manger that became a carpenter that was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It started with humble beginnings. Do you know why? Because that makes God so much more approachable. If God was a king, if God was a superhero, we might be afraid of him. But God came in the form of a baby in that delicate area, and then he showed his power and showed his ability. And it says this small seed that when it's sown, it grows up into a plant that actually can have branches that are spread out, and the birds can rest in the air. Now, if we're really studying our word, if we're really looking at context, the mustard tree grows bigger than any other herb. It's actually talking about the church has grown into something that it really shouldn't have been. It should have been a bush. That's what a mustard seed is. And the birds, if you remember from the parable of the seeds, the birds came and what? Ate the seeds. It represented Satan and the enemy. As we look out at the landscape of the Christian church, the church of Jesus Christ, What portion of that church is the true church? What portion of the church, what portion of the entire church, of all the religions of the world, is the true church that loves God and that is serving God and helping others come to God? It's an amazing truth. God starts with small things, my friends. And maybe in your life, you're discouraged today. Maybe you've been in a situation for a long, long time, and you don't know and don't see how God's going to get you out of it. Guys, God is so faithful. In fact, in Zechariah 4:10, it says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Who has despised the day of small things? Zechariah was speaking to Zerubbabel, and God's saying, "I know, Zerubbabel, you've been going through this for a long time. I know you've been at this for a long time, but don't give up." Zerubbabel was ministering for 16 years. He was in the midst of this project that God had for him, but he wasn't seeing any fruit from it. And God told him through this, through Zechariah, he said, "Don't give up. Be faithful." Maybe someone here this morning needs to hear that. That you've been going through a situation for a long, long time, and you just need to continue to be faithful. God is not done working in you and through you. Have you ever heard of the Methuselah plant, date palm? Anybody ever hear of this? Have you ever been in Israel? There's a place called Qumran. That's where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, a lot of the Old Testament scriptures, and all of, they found it. Well, in 2005, they found a pot that had date nuts inside the pot, 2,000 years old. They took the seed, they planted it in the ground, and a tree grew. 2,000-year-old seed. Here's the tree. Show them the tree. Today, it's over 10 feet tall. This is amazing to me because it shows the faithfulness of God and the work that he can do even though many, 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 many years have gone by. He can still produce fruit no matter how dry our hearts are, guys. That's just absolutely amazing to me. I don't want to live 2,000 years, but I want my wife to produce something that brings glory and honor to God. And I think it's cool that they call it the Methuselah plant. Oldest man that ever lived. The reality is, guys, we can't stop growing, and you won't stop growing. Just like I said about putting gas in our cars when we run out, if you're in a dry place today, just simply add the Word of God, and you'll find life begin to grow again. Don't stop growing. It's when you stop growing, you stop living. Grow in the Lord. Be used by him. Watch for those opportunities. He will use you. Father, we thank you for your word today and how grateful we are to see this very simple and basic parable written in our word of God, but yet it can remind us, Lord, that how important your word is to us, that we would not stop studying it, that we would not stop searching the scriptures, that you would speak to us through them, that you would equip us, God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we never find ourselves going down a dark alley that's not illuminated by your word. I pray for each and every person in this room that they would fall in love with you and fall in love with the study of your word. Every day I pray, somehow, some way, they are thinking about you and thinking about your word and applying it to their lives. For you say you've come to give us life and that life more abundantly. I pray everyone in this room would be living the abundant life for your glory. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.